up are supposed to are obviously supposed to match. I think there was an initial change proposed by WISDOT, and we had some comments on it, and then it changed, and so the map is shown correctly, but the table appears to have not been updated for PD.
And then were those counts collected during construction? Because, we have a lot of development going through there, and at this point in time, we do not support that reduction functional classification.
I would say the counts that we use are the counts that you'll find out on our website. So, if there's counts that you think are that shouldn't be considered, we would, sit down and have that discussion and welcome that discussion. So.
David, you had a comment and you had your hand raised.
Yeah, I think I'm just looking at the table. I'm curious about Learning Place in Sun Prairie, primarily because this is just it's just an access road into and it goes through our high school property. And it says that this was a planned collector. I wasn't a part of that, so I don't know the details of what went into that. It just seems a little bit odd to me that it would be classified as a collector, given that it's just I mean it's a two-way basically access road to our high school property and nothing else. And so I'm just a little curious on what, if it was a plan collector, then that's beyond me, but just curious.
David?
I do remember having this discussion with staff and with MPO staff and with WISDOT staff, and that is supposed to be a local road. So that, yeah, that is an error. Originally planned to be a collector, but then, as you said, David, it doesn't make sense at this point.
And I think if we were to do volume counts, we would see quite a lot of traffic during school times and probably very little traffic otherwise. So, okay, thank you.
Charlene?
My only other comments are for the redu anything that's showing a functional classification moving down a level. So A, B, Mill Pond to Sigel Cow, and S, Mineral Point from Timber to Pioneer. At this point in time, we would need to discuss, but those, I guess A, B, there's a lot of development going through there. I've seen TIAs for those, or I've seen developments plans come through, and I know there's going to be a lot of growth there, especially with McFarland. So that I kind of question as to why that's getting a reduction. I believe that ADT is going to increase. For S Mineral Point, I'm more comfortable with that, but I'd like to discuss this internally.
So, question for the MPO. Thank you, Charlene. Sorry. It sounds like there's some discussions that need to continue on this proposal. Does this need to be voted on today, or is it possible this could be tabled for the next meeting? David?
It can certainly be tabled. We're moving it forward per WISDOT's request. Their timeline this time around is tighter than the last time, but it can certainly be delayed if WISDOT staff has any other comments. Please share. But that's our understanding.
I don't see any issues if it's delayed.
Okay. So my recommendation for this group would be that this item gets tabled for the next TCC meeting in November. I'll make that motion. Do I have a second?
I'd second that. This
Thank
is
you, Todd.
Todd.
All right. Go ahead and raise your hands if you say yay to tabling it for the next meeting. All right. Appears that that is the approved motion. Thank you, everybody. Keep this moving here. So a lot of items on the agenda. So let's see. Oh, great. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought we were on seven already. Number six, new equity priority areas. I'm assuming this is MPO presentation.
That's right.
Sorry, one second. Lucas has his hand up. I just want to make sure. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Let's see. We're going to fire this up and I will try and make this brief here. Are you seeing my proper screen here?
We still see your presentation note. You know,
See the
we see the
notes.
advanced
Yep.
slide. You know how
Yes.
that it
This,
always
yep. I
starts
gotta.
the wrong way.
There we
Yes.
go. We all set now?
Yep.
Good.
Looks good.
Great. So I'm just going to give a little bit of update on our environmental justice analysis zones. So equity or environmental justice is a key goal of the MPO, and we use geographic data about race, ethnicity, and income to assess our public outreach activities and make sure that the costs and the benefits of the transportation system are fairly distributed across the region. Since 2020, we've used our Tier 1 and Tier 2 environmental justice areas for these types of analyses. And basically, Tier 1 areas have both high proportions of non-white and/or Hispanic residents and a high percentage of low-income residents. And these were our initial effort to identify environmental justice areas for our analysis. After we looked at these, we decided we needed to cast a wider net. And so then we developed the Tier 2 zones, which are areas that exceeded the MPO average by 50% in either their race and ethnicity category or low-income residents. And we've used we used census block group geographies as the basis for the zones and then trimmed out some large non-residential areas, such as at the airport or the Arboretum. We've used these areas to assess how successful our interactive commenting map was for the RTP, how successful it was in reaching residents in more disadvantaged areas. We've also used it to identify missing links on the low-stress bike network between disadvantaged neighborhoods and employment areas, and also to conduct environmental justice reviews and analyses for the annual the TIP, as well as projects submitted for funding with STBGU and TAP apportionments. However, the areas that we developed have some shortcomings because they were based on only two variables, the percentage of non-Hispanic white people and the percentage of people living in households below 150% of the poverty level. We did not really account in a proper statistical way for margins of error in the income variable. And we used the free and reduced price lunch data to sort of make some adjustments to zones within Madison, but we don't have that data for areas outside of Madison, and it's doubtful whether we'd have it in Madison again. So we also heard that the city of Madison was trying to have a larger conversation about this and develop a new set of zones to be used for the city. And so we have been waiting on updating ours, hoping to use the new zones that they were identifying. So in 2022, the City of Madison data team, which is part of the finance department, began developing a more statistically sound methodology. And through an iterative process, working with a steering team that includes some of us MPO staff, they settled on the methodology shown here, where basically a block group receives a point per variable of interest. There are these race and ethnicity variables, as well as the income variables. And block groups with two or more points are considered priority areas. To ensure that these areas would be useful to the MPO, the data team used the same techniques to create several other zone sets covering Dane County and the MPO area, both including and excluding the City of Madison from those. After reviewing the zone sets that they developed, we settled on using zones developed for the City of Madison individually, and then combining that with a zone set developed for Dane County that excludes the city. And so this ensures that the zones used by the City of Madison then match the zones that the MPO is using in the city, and then also identifies a number of priority zones located outside the City of Madison. Under the data team's original methodology, zones could qualify as equity priority areas or EPAs in three ways. It could be just based on the economic indicators alone, on those race and ethnicity indicators alone, or through a combination of both. And zones with college student-dominated populations were excluded from the analysis. After we reviewed these, we decided that we would rather only include zones that had some economic component to their score that led them to be an equity priority area. And this was driven by some of these zones, such as those that are circled on the west side of Madison, are among the wealthier zones in the city. And so we felt like, at least for our purposes, when we're thinking about transportation and infrastructure and so forth, it was better to make sure that we're using zones that are clearly tied to economic indicators. And it's important to keep in mind that these zones shown here, these are the ones we're planning to use in the future as a replacement for our environmental justice zones. We want to keep in mind that these are sort of a starting point for us, and we're also, we realize that there are disadvantaged areas scattered outside of these zones, and certainly some areas of advantage that are within these zones. So these are not the be all and end all. Now, although the project hasn't been officially declared complete by the data team, our new equity priority areas, these have already been put into use by other City of Madison departments. The city's All Ages and Abilities Bike Network and pedestrian plan that's currently underway is likely to use the same set of zones that we're planning to use. We also have other layers that trim this down to just the residential areas, although that's a little harder to see on a map at this scale. I'll also mention that we have not settled on terminology for these zones. I've been referring to them as equity priority areas and environmental justice zones here, but the name is still kind of up in the air. So there we go. That's the quick version. So I'll stop sharing here.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Was there any motion needed on this? I think this
No, share, this was right? Just informational.
Yep. Okay. Perfect. One quick question. Do zones adjacent to an SDBGU project carry merit in the scoring?
Generally, if those projects are expected to sort of serve the zone, then they would. So generally, if you've got a bike path or a road next to one of these zones, it's on the edge or near, it doesn't even have, doesn't have to necessarily be touching it if it's serving the residents of that area.
Okay. And that includes transit improvements too?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Do we need to make sure we note the adjacency of an STBGU project in our application?
We will look at where those are located, so you don't have to worry about that. But one thing I would say is that when we next revise our scoring criteria, I was just talking with Ben about this yesterday. Currently, our STBGU application allows you to identify another environmental justice sort of area that's not in one of our zones and to say that your project is going to serve that. Currently, the TAP application does not have that written in where you can sort of make your own case for it. But I think in the future, we will allow that so that we're not writing something off just because it doesn't happen to fall inside the zone, because certainly there are more, you know, apartment buildings and other types of developments with less advantaged folks living outside these zones. I think Ben has something to add here.
Yep.
Yeah, I was just going to say the reason that we have that locally identified priority area in the SDBGU scoring criteria, but not in the TAP criteria, is that we really thought this project through the data team at the City of Madison would be complete before we got to the current cycle. And since we hadn't gotten around to updating our maps that we're referring to, we also didn't get around to sort of updating the rest of that scoring to include that locally identified area. But as Bill said, yeah, for smaller, you know, communities where the entire community is maybe within one census tract or two census block groups, it can be hard from the data to notice that there's an area being served by a project. That would be your chance to say there's a large mobile home park, there's a senior assisted living facility, there's an elementary school with a lot of low-income children attending it. those sorts of things. We want to give you a chance to call those out that with greater specificity, and hope in the next 2 years as we revise our TAP and SDVG scoring criteria and bring in this new map set, we'll be making those changes as well.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, comments on the agenda item as presented? All right, moving on. Item number 7, chair and vice chair elections for 2026. Is there anybody presenting this item from the MPO?
No.
Okay.
But we have our, I'll just recall we've got 1 year terms, and those start in the first meeting of the next year. Currently, just so everybody's on the same page, Brad was elected vice chair for this year with Lauren Dietz, who is elected chair, but she left her position with Wanakee, so Brad has stepped up to be chairing these meetings here in 2025.
So, yeah, so historically, we've taken a motion from a member of the committee, either via somebody volunteering to perform the chair tasks and responsibilities for an incoming year, or in some cases, somebody's recommended a member of the committee be chair. So, I would be willing to continue on as either vice chair or chair in 2026 if that was the will of the group, or if somebody else wants to volunteer, absolutely feel free to do so. So I'll give everybody a second to think about it. How about that? Or if you want to do what Judd did last year and just volunteer somebody. That's fine too.
This is Todd. Brad, I think you do a great job, and if I don't want to put you on the spot or nudge you into anything, but you do really well with it, and I'd be happy to nominate you if you were so willing.
Yeah, I'm not planning on going anywhere in 2026, so I would be willing to do it.
I would second that.
Thank you, Chris. So I guess we'd be looking for somebody to volunteer as, or somebody to volunteer somebody else as vice chair in case that I'm unable to make a meeting or otherwise. Would anybody be willing to step up and perform vice chair duties?
I could do vice chair.
Okay, thank you, Chris. All right. So Todd has the motion. I guess we would need a second if the group agrees on me as chair of the committee, Chris as vice chair. Yang?
I second that.
All right, thank you. Let's do a raise hand for all the yay votes. I think that's about everybody. Okay. Thank you, Chris, for volunteering as well. All right. Thank you, everybody. Next item on the agenda, staff reports.
Yeah, so the first thing, this regional coordination regarding path railroad crossing decisions by the OCR. I'll keep this very quick because I know it's been a long meeting, but there have been some paths, including the Cannonball Path, the Glacial Drumlin Capital City Connector, and the Lower Yahara River Path, where they were coming right together, and then they had to petition the Office of the Commissioner of Railroads to allow them to build a at-grade railroad crossing. And all three of those were stopped by the OCR. I met with the Wisconsin Non-Motorized Recreation and Transportation Trails Commission in early this year. That has a governor-appointed chair and then representatives of very various businesses and nonprofits involved in biking, including the Bike Fed and so forth. And when I presented to them, they were very interested in these railroad issues. And so I kind of looked into that a little bit more. And that led to some meetings with some of the folks that had worked on these projects, as well as the Bike Fed. And eventually we met with the Office of the Commissioner of Railroads. We spoke with the commissioner and spoke with the administrative law judge that makes some of these decisions. And we did get some good insight on how they work. There's been some pretty surprising decisions there, I'll say. But it does look like I think Madison has made other arrangements for the Cannonball and the Lower Yahara and the Glacial Drumline Connector. So those are not going to probably have to come before OCR again, as far as I know. Lower Yahara River Trail, a project by Dane County Parks, is planning to go back and try to get through there. And I think with some of the information we've gotten and bringing a lot of people together, hopefully we'll be able to have better success with that. So I'll end that there unless anybody has any questions. If anybody wants to touch base with me or has any projects that are going to need to get OCR approval, I'd be happy to talk more about that, because I could go on and on and on about that. We also have our staff report on the active transportation plan that we've been working on. We're planning to wrap that up by the end of this year. Ben Lyman, if you'd like to say a few words about the survey responses and stuff, that would be good.
Yeah, absolutely. I finished up a presentation that I was going to give you today, but we don't have time for that. I've also asked to have it posted to our biking and walking webpage. And so I'm just going to really, I clicked too quickly here. There's no chat, so I can't share the URL, but we'll just go there. So on our new website under transportation planning, expand the biking and walking area. And then if you scroll down here, we've got our active transportation plan for Dane County. Right now, the full survey results in Excel format are available. If you want to do your own sorting and formatting, I know Russ and Phil and Fitchburg has started working on this and kind of filtering through. There's the way that SurveyMonkey exports data is kind of wonky. So if you want to talk to me about how I did some of the cross tabs, I'd be happy to work through with you on that. But all the results are there for you. You can also go to the comment map directly. And apparently that link doesn't work anymore. All right, well, I'll get that fixed. And then as soon as Kayla has a chance, she'll be posting the slides that I was going to share with you today. Oh, hey, it does work. We just have to be patient. So this is the public-facing online comment map. You can zoom in, you can look at things, you can click on it and find out what did this person have as a comment about pedestrians. You can look and, you know, check out that, yes, people still want bike ped taxis across the lake. So you can get in and see all of the comments. If you're working on a project in a specific area, you can see what folks dropped for comments there. And again, all of that information and the slides that I would have shown you today, given enough time, will all be available. If you want GIS data, please do email me or Bill, and he can pass that along. We'll get the GIS files to you, or any other information that you want on the current status of that. So that's what we've got right now. As far as public input, we are working on drafting the actual chapters for recommendations, basically taking all of our 2015 bicycle transportation plan recommendations, updating all of those and rephrasing them as appropriate to apply to bicycles and pedestrians and e-scooters and wheelchairs and every other kind of walking, rolling, biking, pogo sticking device you can imagine. So we're getting those updated and again, working through our draft plan, and hope to have that to you for consideration by or near the end of the year.
Thank you, Ben. FYI for Bill and Ben, I would like those GIS files if that's possible.
All right, we'll work
I
a
also
plan to get
serve
it
it.
to you.
I'm the GIS guy for the city too, so many
Oh,
hats.
lucky you.
Yeah. All right, thank you. In terms of the regional coordination for railroads, if we had a future agenda item to re-update on that, that'd probably be a good conversation item for this group. I know we had issues with our path crossing when we connected to the Capital City Trail on the south end of the city. So I think everybody has the same issue with the that. I'm assuming there was issues with John Nolan and the design and stuff too, although they're kind of grandfathered in with their crossings already, so but
Yeah, I think some of the OCR seems to be taking a exceedingly narrow view of safety it really seems like in a lot of these decisions, all the ones I've seen, they've pretty much disregarded any of the existing safety problems that are leading to the need for the path. And then it's hard to prove that in that specific path crossing a location, it's going to be safer because now you've got people crossing the train track. So it's there's a lot of weirdness there. But are you thinking just for the paths specifically, Brad, you want covered or just more general discussion of OCR with train crossings and of roads and stuff as well?
I think a more general discussion with this group would be good. I think that, not necessarily an airing of grievances from everybody, but just an update for the group and maybe some, war stories, so to speak, or upcoming potential pathways that might actually be crossing a railroad crossing as well for any STBGU or TAP projects or otherwise. Might be good to get ahead of it. Get some support from the group too. So, all right. Next scheduled meeting, Wednesday, November 19th. So, put that in the calendars. We will have items to vote on at that meeting. Possibly some updates from the group on existing TIP listings, TIP projects. So, FYI for that. Otherwise, I will need a motion to adjourn for today. You know what? I'll make the motion. I need a second.
Second.
Thank you, Ying. All right. I assume that everybody agrees. Thank you for a good meeting, and we will see you next month.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Thank you
Thanks.
all. Thanks.
Be good.
Thank you.